Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and welcome to this Word of Grace broadcast for the fourth Sunday in Lent in 2022. A welcome to you wherever you are listening from, and a welcome to you whatever your church connection and whether you have a church connection or not. Thank you for tuning in to CJMQ, broadcasting to the Eastern Townships. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we're delighted to have you join us for this broadcast of the Word of Grace. You're also welcome to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Sherbrooke. And if you can't join us in person, then you can watch our live stream on either our YouTube channel or our Facebook page. Today, we're going to be looking at the story of the lost or prodigal son. A picture, a masculine-shaped picture, if you like, of the love of God. We might find pictures of God in many places. The brilliant scientist Sir Isaac Newton said that he could take his telescope and look at millions and millions of stars in space. And then he added, "But when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth." When we want a picture of God's love for us, then it's to that parable of Jesus that we might often turn. Here are some words from Psalm 32 about someone who turns to God. "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of mighty waters will not reach them." Let us pray. Let us turn towards the Father who runs out to meet us, even if we feel far off. Let us turn towards the Son who reconciles us to God, making us all a new creation. Let us turn towards the Spirit who meets with us, filling us with hope and peace. Father, Son, and Spirit, we turn towards you with expectant minds and hopeful hearts. Transform us anew. Thank you for the joy that comes with forgiveness, for the freedom of being released from shame, for rolling away the stone of guilt from our lives. And so we come with confidence to confess our sins, in the hope of having a healthy rather than a false humility. We confess the things we have done and the things we have left undone that have hurt you, others, and the planet. Forgive the guilt of our sin. Be our hiding place and preserve us from trouble, and surround us with your deliverance. God of all newness and creation, even deep in the wilderness of Lent, we are nevertheless new creations in your sight. Even when we are deep within trials and tribulations, even there we are held within your loving embrace. In Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself. Come, Holy Spirit, that we might be trustworthy messengers of that spirit of reconciliation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 15 at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and he eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, then we jump to verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry.
There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. But one was out on the hills far away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care.
Away from the tender shepherd's care, Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer,
"This of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep.
I go to the desert to find my sheep.
But all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, 'Rejoice, I have found my sheep.' And the angels echoed around the throne, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, 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 for the Lord brings back his own."
A kid with his hand out isn't an unusual picture, as any parent knows. It's a familiar sight, morning, noon, or night in any household. But in the case of the parable of the lost son, a kid with his hand out is a particularly shocking look. Indeed, it's the first of three shocking things that are in this story. Indeed, this is no gentle bedtime goodnight story. This is something of a horror story, a Stephen King movie, perhaps. In the cultural conventions of the time, Jewish law dictated that when the father passed away, the eldest son would get 2/3 of the estate, a double portion, and the next youngest son, 1/3. But as Jesus tells it, Dad was still very much alive and well. And so the younger son commits an egregious offence by basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were already dead." Forget the family business, and for that matter, the whole family as well. I'm out of here. Isn't that shocking? And then after he offends his loving father, this suddenly wealthy kid begins to live it up in some foreign or Gentile country. And there he squanders all the property by living a wild and undisciplined lifestyle. He's used his capital as income. And you and I know that that's an unhealthy place to be, to live beyond our means. And after he's blown it all and it's flat broke, he hires himself out to a Gentile pig farmer, which is about as un-Jewish as he can get. Pigs were an abomination to the Jews, and people who cared for swine were cursed. And so that's the second shocking thing. The first was that this young man wishes his father were dead, and the second is that this young man, hungry and destitute, is sitting in the filth of a pigsty, envying the slop of those who are chewing it all down. That's below the depths of any dignity. But in the midst of that pigsty, in the ditch of life, is also a place of revelation. In the midst of the piles of pig poo, the boy came to himself and decided to go home. And that's a striking expression that puts the state of rebellion against God as a kind of madness. What a wonderful stroke of art to represent the beginning of repentance, even if it's motivated more by pragmatism than anything else, as the return of sound thinking. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To come to oneself is admitting that we're sinners in need of returning to our Father's house. Well, thank God that he did come to himself and began the process of repenting by realizing and accepting that the love of his father and returning home was far better than the freedom in that far country. It's God's goodness, not just humanity's badness, that leads us to repentance. The story is told of a kite that was flying, and the kite began to talk to itself. It's all right, it's not a true story. But the kite said, "If only I could get rid of this string. If the string wasn't holding me back, then I could fly. I could fly above the clouds. I could fly as high as I wanted. If I could get rid of this string, there'd be nothing holding me back. I'm limited by this string." One day, the kite got its wish. The string broke, and the kite came crashing down. For what the kite did not realize was that the same string that kept it down also kept it up. Cutting the string did not make it freer. The prodigal realized in the pig pen that when we cut the string of dependence upon God in search of more pleasure, the same string that seems to hold us back also keeps us flying high. God wants us to trust him and let God hold the string. Staying connected to God keeps us from falling. Well, this young man made up his mind that he was going back to his father, the father who represents God in this story. Just as he had left the father in the beginning, now he leaves everything else behind to go back home. So he leaves the far country. He leaves the far country and formulates a bright new plan of his own for faking out a quasi-life for himself, a life as a hired hand, a servant. And I can imagine that as he was travelling back to his father's house, the closer he got to familiar territory, his pace slowed down, so that at a point he even hesitated. He wondered if he was making a right decision. He wondered how his resolve to become his father's servant sounded. And as he got closer and closer, could see the father's house from a distance, his heart was pounding, his hands were sweating profusely. The way that Jesus tells us the story, the father simply sees what seems like the corpse of a son coming down the road, and even with near-sighted vision saw the glimpse of his own son. And then the third shocking thing happened. First, "Dad, I wish you were dead." Secondly, "Looking after pigs, living in the pigsty, ugh." And the third shocking thing, the father ran to meet his son. In Eastern culture, old men do not run, yet the father ran to meet his son. Why? Well, one obvious reason was his love for him and his desire to show that love. And God running to meet us as we turn to him shows us that when we try to obtain our right relationship with God through our own best efforts and our own works righteousness, we need a heavenly Father who meets us and dwells with us in our pain, in our anguish. God meets us in overcoming our troubles, to heal the deepest of wounds, to endure the greatest of hardships for our sake. God is our hope for the hopeless. God is our strength when we are weak. And I imagine that the son, as he was approaching his father's house and saw him running, thought, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust." In Eastern culture, old men do not run, yet the father ran to meet his son. Why? Because there's something else involved. This wayward son had brought disgrace to his family and his village, and according to Deuteronomy 21, he should have been stoned to death. And if the father had seen him from a distance, then maybe some neighbours further down the road had also seen him. Maybe they were picking up stones. Maybe the tittle-tattle and the gossip and the blethers were all beginning to go round the village. "See that lad who wished his father was dead? He's back and he stinks of pigs. Let's stone him to death." Yet the father ran to meet him. Why? So that if the neighbours began to stone the son, they would have hit the father instead. What a picture of the love of God and the length of the love of God that reveals itself in the story of the lost son here. That the father himself was willing to be stoned by the neighbours to protect the life of his son. This is the love of God that sacrifices of itself that Good Friday in order that we might be brought home. Christ died on the cross that we might find our way home.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Mm-hmm. behold the man upon a cross, my sins upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Let us pray. God of all goodness and mercy, your love breathes life into us day after day. You are our hiding place. You preserve us from trouble. You surround us with glad cries of deliverance. Like the Israelites, we're led through a wilderness where we're forced to depend upon you for our daily bread. But we remember with thanksgiving the story of the prodigal son, how he sinned and lost himself to selfish desire, how he wandered alone in the wilderness of transgression, how he repented of his ways and returned to a forgiving parent. We thank you for this story as our stories, ours for the telling and ours for the living. We rejoice that the grace within the story is found within the body and being of your Son, Jesus Christ, who for us came to this lost and lonely world that we might be found. We remember with thanksgiving that he was born in the flesh, that he preached the gospel in word and in deed, that he sought out the lost and the lonely and welcomed them with open arms, and that he brings us newness by reconciling us to our God, by taking upon himself all that should have fallen upon us. We thank you, Lord. We lift to you the nations, that they might be rebuilt in justice and in peace, remembering Russia and Ukraine. We lift to you this earth, which you so lovingly created, that as stewards of your gifts we might thankfully use its resources for the good of all. We pray for this city, and for the townships and the province around us, that all might work together to strengthen and improve the lives of citizens. May we earnestly desire the common good, to the well-being of all, and to the glory of your name. And we pray for your church, the ones that we know, the ones that we're connected to, but also the ones that we remember with thankfulness, the ones that we wish we could belong to. We pray that this season of Lent might be a time of renewal in faith and mission on your behalf, and that together we may learn the path of servanthood towards all humanity. And we pray for ourselves and our own needs, the needs of those around us whose lives are closely linked with our own. To those who are sick and sorrowful, bring your healing and hope. To the grieving, bring your peace. To the dying, bring the joy of your promise to us of eternity with you. For these and all our prayers we offer you, trusting in your goodness and strength, in the name and spirit of Jesus the Christ. And hear us now as further we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.